We have a lot about sheep today, both from Ezekiel speaking for God and for Matthew speaking for Jesus. We also hear about sheep and goats, at least when we hear about them from Matthew. They might serve to make us just a little anxious. We also know that this is the last Sunday of our church calendar year, and it is the day that we recognize as Christ the King Sunday. Our collect and epistle reading from Ephesians speak to the lordship and kingship of Christ, of his ruling in power and great glory at the right hand of the Father. And one might wonder, what connection can possibly be made between sheep and kings? Matthew ties it together a bit when he talks about the return of Christ, flanked by angels, all the angels. He will be sitting on a throne of glory, sorting sheep here to the right, goats, you go over there to the left. Sheep will join the king in his kingdom. Goats don't fare nearly as well. They're sent into the eternal fire to eternal punishment. And just last week, Matthew told of a wicked servant who was thrown into the outer darkness with wailing and gnashing of teeth. He also has recently shared the parable of Jesus that told of bridesmaids locked out in darkness, banging on the door, only to be told that the groom never knew them. This brings to mind other parables, like the one where the wheat and the tares are allowed to grow together to be sorted at the end of the ages. Matthew gives clear delineations of who is in and who is out, and has no hesitation in sharing his understanding. He very much wants us to know that there, in fact, will be a final judgment, and some will be judged to be not included. We hear that the sheep have provided food and drink, visited those in prison, provided clothing, and welcomed the stranger. They don't seem to realize that they've done this. They seem to be genuinely surprised when the king informs them that they have behaved righteously. The goats seem to be equally surprised to be confronted with the fact that they have not behaved righteously. Maybe the goats didn't realize that they would, in fact, be judged. Maybe the goats thought they would just skate through, that having faith did not require a life response. My father used to love to tell a story of his Old Testament professor at Candler Seminary, who would enter the classroom the first day of class each year and post the question for the final exam on the blackboard. The actual question for the actual final. His goal was to help the students learn what they needed to know by the time they finished the semester. He had no interest in tricking them or tripping them up. His goal was to teach the students, so he told them from the first day what he wanted them to learn. My father recounted this experience with his professor to the reading from Matthew, claiming that in this passage we are given the final exam, that in Jesus' words we are told what is required, what the answer to the questions will be in the final judgment. And while I truly appreciate my father's take on this, the correlation is just not that clear for me. If the final exam questions for the day of judgment are clearly laid out in this passage from Matthew, what are the clear answers? Provide food, drink, clothing, welcome, visitation? Does it need to be done in that order? How much? How often? I'm not trying to be petty or split hairs here. I really want to know. I want to be certain that I'm in the sheep club and not in the goat herd. And I feel fairly certain that you do too. If Jesus will just lay out exactly and clearly what needs to be done, we will do our absolute best to do just that. We can make sure we're in the sheep group if we just know exactly what it is that needs to be done. What is the sheep bottom line here, Jesus? Feed hungry people? once a week? Visit prisoners annually? Or are we expected to feed everyone who comes wanting food? Jesus didn't say a word about paying power bills or visiting nursing homes or even hospitals, really. In a world where spam and gas vouchers can be traded for cash for drugs, it's hard to know when we're helping or when we're harming. What I have discovered is that Jesus does not generally tend to the absolute. If he had, then perhaps the sheep would have known then that they were sheep, and the same with the goats. Jesus tends toward the metaphor. He says things like, I'm the vine, I'm the gate. And when he says things like this, he does not expect that we understand him to literally be a vine or a gate. That is obviously absurd. So perhaps the expectation of how we live as sheep is a bit broader than merely checking off a list of good deeds done. Worked for the soup bowl, check. Took a case of water to interfaith, check. Said hello to someone I didn't know in church, check. Delivered a box of clothes to community enabler, check. Prison, well, maybe I need to work on visiting someone in prison soon. The check-off list of good deeds done just doesn't seem in keeping with what this Good Shepherd King has in mind, no matter how clear Matthew is on the fact that some pass and some don't, or that some are in and some fall short. Ezekiel has a slightly different take, at least for the sheep. He actually doesn't mention goats. He speaks of a God who will search out his sheep, seek them out and rescue them from the dark places to which they are scattered. He speaks of a God who will go to any length to find and take care of the sheep, who will bring them to safe places where they will be well taken care of. He will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. Does that sound familiar? A little like what Jesus affirms in the sheep in Matthew's gospel? It won't be so good for those fat and strong sheep. They will be destroyed. Is it possible that strong sheep are akin to goats in Matthew? God continues with this condemnation of the fat and strong sheep who push with the flank and shoulder and butted at the weak animals with their horns until the weak animals were scattered far and wide. God will save his flock and judge between the sheep and the sheep. Jesus, God, is not looking for reasons to find us at fault, but looking for us to be the people we were made to be, those who care for each other, those who do not prey on the weak, but support those most in need, the hungry, the vulnerable, those in prison, or those with any need at all. Not to turn a blind eye, but to pay attention to the needs around us and to respond as though each person we encounter is Jesus himself. Because each person we encounter is in fact a child of God, just as we ourselves are. Jesus said, "Just as you have done for the least of these, you've done for me." Amen.